Hello, everybody. So the King's Speech is being delivered. Now, the King's Speech is not written by the monarch. It's written for him by the elected government. And the monarch simply delivers that. And that outlines the governing party's legislative programme for the next year or so. It takes place every year, usually state opening a parliament in November. But after general election, they do one the next sort of 2 or 3 weeks after that. Now, the parliamentary recess should have begun. Labour's chosen to delay it a bit because they want to get the ball rolling. Then there'll be a holiday through late July into August before coming back in September, party conference season, blah, blah, blah. So there are 39 bills, as in proposals for laws. If they pass, they become acts. And if you've got a majority as healthy as this government, then probably all of them are going to become acts. Right. So these are some of the things in here. One of them is the planning and infrastructure bill, which is mostly about building accommodation, which is loosening the rules about planning permission. And some of this is sensible and changing the rules and compulsory purchase of land. So they're going to be taking away people's property rights, supposedly for the common weal. Then the renter's rights bill. Now, renters have very extensive rights already. It's almost impossible to evict someone. I mean, in a very small scale landlords, a couple with one 3-bedroom house, they've got another 2-bedroom house they rent out. For over a year, the tenant hasn't paid the proper rent. They've been trying to convince her to leave. She won't leave. They've lost thousands of pounds in this. This was a couple who've got two children who don't have much money, both of them teachers. And they've even offered to help her find a new place to live, to actually move her stuff, or she won't do this. So anyway, so no fault evictions. If you've done nothing wrong, you can't be evicted. If the landlords change their mind, they want to move in themselves, they want to sell it, whatever, they can't do that. So it's a nightmare. And the effect it's going to have is more people say, well, I'm not going to rent out then. I'm going to keep it myself. I'm going to sell it, something like that. It's actually going to be worse for tenants as a result of it. It's so bad already. And by the way, these people who are complaining that the extant situation was terrible, they're both leftists. They're both anti-conservative, Labour or Liberal Democrat voters. So the leasehold and commonhold reform bill. And that will mean there's no more ground rent for people who are already leaseholders. And it will mean that there's no forfeiture. Leaseholders will no longer have a risk losing their house over small unpaid debts. Now, that might seem alluring enough, but why on earth would you pay off your debts if they're not going to be repercussions? And another point, why would you lend things, provide services if there's going to be no enforcement? So it's going to be impossible. And actually fewer services are going to be extended to people. So it's just ill thought through this. Anyway, Labour touted the state-owned energy investment generation company they're going to establish called GB Energy. And that's going to be set up under the Great British Energy Bill. We'll see how that goes. So a national wealth fund bill, is that's one of the other propositions. And the aim is to fund a fund which is going to invest more than £7.3 billion over the next 5 years in infrastructure and the green industry. I mean, that really is a drop in the ocean, though, considering that the UK's national budget is something like £1.3 trillion a year. And this £7.3 billion over 5 years, you know, that's maybe, you know, not even £1.3 billion per annum. OK, but it's something. It's better than nothing. The Water Special Measures Bill, this will say that the bosses of private water companies will be personally liable if they break the laws, and it will allow the water regulator more extensive powers to forbid bonuses. Now, I do have some sympathy with this one because water companies are sometimes polluting rivers and they're not paying the price. So it's not the company's going to be liable. You, the director, the executive, is going to come out of your pocket, is your house, will be forfeit, you know, they'll distrain your goods, your bank account will be emptied, you'll be bankrupted. So you will take it a lot more seriously. The trouble is, it might be very difficult to find people to directors or executive of these companies if they've got this liability, which I think is unlimited. And sometimes these bosses will pay themselves big bonuses whilst they're ruining the environment and putting up their bills. And some companies are almost bankrupt, like Thames Water, for example, hugely in debt. Okay, the Passenger Railway Services Bill. This will permit the government to renationalize almost all passenger rail services when the contracts run out, and they go for sort of 5 years at a time. Now, then either they will be empowered to nationalize passenger services, they might not do so on every line. And this is Corbynista. And obviously, I remember train travel in the United Kingdom before and after privatization. in some ways better, in some ways worse. I mean, the trains were dirty and so on, but it was much cheaper in real terms back in the 90s. The trains, the rolling stocks got better, but we don't need that much better. And the delays are still fairly bad. You know, planned engineering works and whatever it is, a signaling problem. So often it's a signaling problem, which apparently is quite cheap to sort out. Sort that out and we can have older trains, decades older trains. And it's just eye-wateringly expensive. It's the most expensive in the world. The one thing is, passenger numbers still haven't quite recovered from COVID, plus more people from working from home. Now, that might be offset by more immigration, more people coming into the country needing to use the trains. But if we're going to get people off the road and save the environment, we've got to make public transport, rail and road, rail and bus transport viable. A decent alternative, which is coming reasonably frequently, which is fast, which is not going to be delayed, it's not going to be cancelled, and it's not too pricey. So a new organisation will be established to superintend trains and railways called Great British Railways. And there's a railways bill going to do that. I mean, I don't know the granularity of that one. There's another bill called the Better Buses Bill. And that will say that more local leaders, they can be responsible for governing bus services, because they some say in some rural, semi-rural places, buses are very infrequent and it's very difficult, particularly for blue collar workers, to get to work. Because remember, a lot of white collar jobs as an accountant, as a stockbroker, as an insurance broker or whatever, you can do from home. But the blue collar jobs, usually you can't. As a factory worker, as a construction worker, as a farm laborer, as a shop assistant, as a care assistant, or as a cleaner, you've got to be there in person. They've got to pay the price for going by bus or train. And they're the ones impacted if they can't get to work. They're the ones that have to pay for the tickets, and they're the ones who can least afford it. And then sometimes they don't have cars, can't afford cars. So that's why we've got to have decent public transport. So I'm not in principle against local government running some bus services, and they say bus service has been cut terribly in the last 10 years or so. A high speed rail bill, which says that this is to build the northern part of high speed to that rail link from Birmingham north to the north of England, and it will bring in additional powers to allow new rail infrastructure to be constructed in northern England. Well, I mean, I'm for that if it's financially possible. But at the moment, it was just horrifically expensive. And I still don't make the right decision to scrap High Speed 2 north of Birmingham. I would love High Speed 2 to exist all throughout the United Kingdom, but it's just completely unaffordable at the moment. The estimate was way too low. Okay, so there's a Crime and Borders Policing Act, which will give the police more extensive powers to tackle antisocial behaviour. So fewer rights for ordinary people. I mean, and then the definition of antisocial behaviour getting wider and wider. Anything contentious, it will make assaulting shop workers a specific crime. I don't see why it has to be. Assault is a crime. Why is it different from a shop assistant? I mean, they're not like superhuman, or they're not especially, you know, a special species or something. No one should be assaulted. That includes shop assistants. It's failure to enforce the existing law. I don't see why we need an additional law. So yeah, Labour obviously increasingly turning into a police state, because they recognise the police on their side. They want to use the police as a bludgeon to club people insensible. So weaponising policing to enforce their ideology. The police are already the shock troops of the far left. Anyway, the Terrorism Protection of Premises Bill. And the Conservatives actually had this one already. People call it Martin's Law. And so therefore, large entertainment venues for concerts or football matches or whatever will have to have procedures ready to deal in case of terrorism, like evacuation and so on. Okay, in some ways good, but on the other way, on the hand, that's going to be more expensive. There are going to be fewer public events. If you go to a public event, you're taking some sort of risk. But you know, there was that terrorist attack at the Ariana Grande concert. Was it in 2017? And that's been the only one in 7 years. These things are very, very rare. So I think this is an overreaction. You are more likely to die from a lightning strike, I would guess, than be killed by a terrorist event in the United Kingdom. Since 2017, has anybody been killed in a terrorist attack in the United Kingdom? I can't think they have. There was the Ariana Grande one. People killed the London Bridge attack and that sort of attack on Parliament. But that was about it. And of course, that's terrible. I don't want people to be murdered. But I suspect it's a legislative overreaction. Okay, so just more burdens on business and so on. The Victims, Courts and Public Protection Bill. This will have new rules which will oblige those who are convicted of a crime to go to the sentencing hearing. And they would take away parental rights from child sex offenders. Thing is, Yeah, so sometimes someone's found guilty of a crime and he or she didn't go to the courtroom to hear their sentencing, which the victim has found distressing and disappointing. So these child sex offenders, well, they very, very rarely do it to their own children. But sometimes someone might have done something minor. I hope that doesn't seem wrong, but it was someone, a father, a mother, who's done something to someone who's just under the age of consent. This person really shouldn't lose rights towards someone, their own child, who's far, far younger. And they often, you know, if they're in prison, they're contact centers where they're supervised with their children. So I think this one is unnecessary. It's just tabloid appeasing. Anyway, we go on to the Border Security Asylum Immigration Bill, which will enable the police to use counterterrorism powers to tackle people smuggling migrants into the United Kingdom. Well, let's see if that works. That would be a good one. And so on. So the Employment Rights Bill will ban the so-called exploitative use of zero sub-hours contracts. Well, I've used zero sub-hours contracts. I like them. They suit me. So they're depriving me of my rights and employers of their rights, and they'll increase unemployment. And workers will have more rights and so on. So this is a bad bill, and this is an assault on freedom. The Race Equality Bill, the idea is you'll be able to make equal pay claims under the Equality Act. So ethnic minority and disabled people will supposedly get equal pay, but that's already illegal anyway. And there'll be reporting requirements for bigger firms. So it'll be a bonanza for the racism industry to be accusing people of racialism. So watch out. Labour's going to enforce more racism. There'll be more anti-white discrimination. I don't want to discriminate against any colour, including my own. Anyway, so now Labour is going to take away your civil liberty. The Tobacco and Vapes Bill, that is going to raise the smoking age. So we're extending childhood into the 20s. No more choice, no more pleasure. Not everybody wants to live to 122, okay? You might be here for a good time, not a long time. My body, my choice, more oppression. Get out of my body, Wes Streeting. You know, it belongs to me. I will decide what I do. You will not decide what I do. Anyway, it's just sick. And we can't even stop people taking heroin. How on earth are we going to stop taking cigarettes? And these people voluntarily pay more in tax. So it's just terrible. The mental health bill, this will have new rules on sectioning people as psychiatrists, detaining people against their will. And it'll have rules on looking after people with learning difficulties. Well, that's going to make it even difficult, more difficult to care for them and more expensive. A children's wellbeing bill, and that was only for England, this one. So councils will have to have registers of children who are not educated in school full time, which is more difficult. Some of them are school refusers. I don't know how they're allowed to just not show up. And there'll be breakfast clubs in primary schools across England. So low-income children getting this. I mean, primarily it's the responsibility of parents to feed the children, but I suppose there's some bad parents. We have child benefits, so there's no excuse for not having enough money to feed your children. So that one, I suppose I don't mind. The Skills England Bill, and this is to set a new government body, which is going to improve training. Well, I mean, I don't think we need that. We have way too much training and education as it is. There's going to be more cost. The Conversion Practices Bill. Okay, so abusive practices, well, they define as abusive, to change someone's sexual orientation or gender identity. But wait a second, if I want to change my gender identity, I can't have help with that? Taking away my rights to speak to someone who's going to persuade me I'm female. If I want to be gay, that I can't go to someone who's going to help me transition to being homosexual. This is preposterous. Again, it's an assault on civil liberty. It's taking away people's rights. It's imposing their spiteful, bigoted, and cruel ideology on everybody else. So yet more labor oppression. And I remember arguing with the letters, but what if they're forced? Well, forcing anyone is a crime, so they shouldn't be doing it. But what if they're forced? Well, what if they're not forced? And she wouldn't even engage with that possibility. The Digital Information and Smart Data Bill, this will enable people to use a digital IB to purchase age-restricted products, okay? And have a way to verify you before you get a job. Well, I don't particularly object to that one. The Cybersecurity and Resilience Bill, this will have rules about how they're going to protect critical infrastructures from attackers. And we really need that with all these Russian cyber attacks. That's one of the few bills here I applaud. Even Labour get things right occasionally. The English Devolution Bill will transfer more powers to elected mayors and combined council areas, like, you know, metro mayors. Well, I disagree with that excessive localism. I believe in the United Kingdom. I mean, I would reverse devolution if I could. Okay, so, and they get rid of the remaining hereditary peers in the House of Lords. Well, people have been talking about that for over a century. Labour thought about doing it in the 1960s, didn't. 1999, Blair got rid of 9 or 10 hereditary peers, and it appears they're going to do so, but surely not a priority. Surely we have far more pressing things to do. The House of Lords is satisfactory as it is. So I wouldn't tinker with that one. And that's really not what people voted for, what people care about. That's not a bread and butter issue. It's a waste of time. A different bill is going to have more female bishops in the House of Lords. Okay. Who is appointed a bishop is surely up to the Church of England. There shouldn't be political interference. Okay, there's going to be another bill about a Hillsborough law. They haven't come up with a name for it. That Hillsborough disaster in 1989, that football stadium in Sheffield, was it? Liverpool versus Sheffield Wednesday. There's going to be a legal duty of candor of public services. They've got public servants are going to be frank about things. There's going to be a budget responsibility bill. That means official forecasts have to take place before budgets. Well, I don't see why we need that one. A pension schemes bill, there'll be new rules and requirements for private sector pension schemes. I don't know the particulars of that one, so I can't judge it. The Crown Estate, a new bill, so the government will be able to borrow from that to invest in infrastructure projects. Okay, the Conservatives talked about that one. No, I don't think so, because, you know, they'll just be short-termist about it. The Crown Estate, we should not interfere with that one. Leave that there for the longer term. Okay, the Football Governance Bill, are regulated for the top five divisions of men's football. Well, I disagree. It's a private matter and government should stay out of it. I don't care about football. An armed forces commissioner will inspect faulty kit military accommodation. I do think we need this. They all say that the British armed forces are not combat ready and people are often leaving armed forces accommodation because it is grossly substandard. What else? People were hoping that the two-child benefit cap would be abolished, and I actually agree it should be. Nothing about artificial intelligence. Labour's not so far said that they'll reduce the voting age to 16. I don't think they should, actually. I mean, on the one hand, I think, well, give more rights to teenagers and we shouldn't be kind of treating them as children. That one I don't particularly agree with. I'm not completely against it. I'd rather we do that than extending childhood into the 20s. A retirement age of 80 in the House of Lords, that they haven't done that, actually. And there was something else I think they might do, but they haven't done so far. It's a kind of bad news. It's going to cost us more. It's taking away our rights. It's oppression. It's injustice. It's just so typical Labour, the usual imbecility, inanity and insanity, which characterises these socialist maladministrations. Thank you for watching. Make sure you subscribe on my channel. Donate on PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. Toodaloo.